Please join with me and let us pray together, shall we? Let us pray. Father, as we were singing that song, I was thinking of the words of John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. And John Newton said he knew that he was a great sinner, but he had an even greater Savior. And Father, although we are all sinners in need of your mercy and your grace, we thank you that your grace is great, greater than our sin. Lord, as we look at a topic that certainly is a delicate topic in our current cultural climate, we pray that you would give us the wisdom to understand what Jesus meant when he said, do not judge. And Father, help us to sort through, that we would have a clear understanding of what your word, what scripture says to us and teaches us. So we just ask that you would take this message and use it in our lives to encourage our hearts, to continue your work of conforming us into the image of your Son. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there was once a widowed hunter who lived deep in the Alaskan wilderness with his 2-year-old son. On one occasion, their food supplies had run low, and the hunter had to go out and hunt for some more food. The weather outside was so cold and so horrible, he reluctantly decided to leave his son behind and trusted to the care of his loyal dog. While the hunter was gone, the weather became even worse, so the hunter had to find shelter and seek refuge for the night. When he returned the next morning, he arrived at his cabin to find the door open and all the furniture overturned. A fierce struggle had taken place. There was no sign of his son, and his dog was lying in the corner looking guilty with his mouth covered in blood. The hunter was deeply distressed and quickly figured out what had happened. The dog, without food, had turned on his son and killed him. In deep anguish and in a fit of rage, the hunter shot and killed his dog. He then began searching frantically for any sign of his son. He then heard there might still be a faint chance that his son was alive. And as the hunter searched the cabin, he heard a familiar cry coming from underneath his son's bed. He lifted the bed up, and there he found his son. His son was unharmed, without a scratch or drop of blood on him. Filled with relief, the hunter picked up his son and hugged him. When he turned around, he saw a dead wolf lying in the far corner of the cabin. Then the hunter realized why his faithful dog had been covered in blood. The dog had saved the life of the hunter's son. And I wonder, how often are we like the hunter? We quickly assume to know the truth about a person or about a situation, when in reality, our judgments are terribly off the mark. Today's message is part 2 in a series of messages called The Questions Jesus Asked. During his ministry on earth, Jesus often asked questions to teach divine truth. He asked questions to get people to think, reflect, and repent. He asked questions to challenge the popular religious and cultural perspectives that were held by the people of his day. One of the most prevalent viewpoints of our current culture is the notion that no one has the right to judge the choices or the lifestyle of another person. At one time, the best-known verse in Scripture was probably John 3:16, but today, the best-known verse might be Matthew 7:1, where Jesus said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." "Do not judge others" is the philosophy embraced by our culture. On the surface, this seems consistent with the teaching of Jesus. But this morning, I want to explore the following issues. Was Jesus opposed to all forms of judging? And what did he mean when he said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged"? Please follow along as I read Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. Matthew 7, verses 1 to 6. And Jesus said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. In verses 3 and 4, Jesus asked two questions. He said, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And then he asked, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? We're going to come back to these questions in a few moments. But let's begin our look at this passage by interpreting the meaning of Jesus' words. In verse 1, Jesus said, do not judge. Many people have taken this as a blanket statement that we are never to make judgments about another person's behavior or moral choices. But is this really an accurate understanding of Jesus' teaching? Was he suggesting that we must never make judgments of any kind regarding the behavior, beliefs, and moral choices of other people? I want to point out that there are two ways to understand the meaning of Jesus' words. First, when Jesus said, do not judge, he was prohibiting a critical spirit toward other people. The key to interpreting this passage is to recognize that the word judge is used in two different ways in the New Testament. Sometimes the word judge refers to criticizing and condemning others in a spirit of judgmentalism. Other times, the New Testament word for judge means to discern and decide. In other words, it refers to making a sound and careful judgment about an issue. When we put Jesus' words into context here in Matthew 7, we get a more accurate picture of what he meant when he said, do not judge. In verse 3, Jesus said, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And this helps us understand what Jesus was getting at. He was condemning our tendency to criticize and find fault with others. More specifically, he was condemning self-righteousness, because self-righteousness makes us critical of others and blind to our own faults. A self-righteous attitude breeds pride and causes us to look down on other people. As one author wrote, we are not to magnify the weaknesses of others and make the worst of them. We are not to be fault finders who are negative and destructive toward other people. We are not to have the self-righteous attitude of the Pharisees, who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. Second, when Jesus said, do not judge, he was not prohibiting the legitimate use of discernment. This is very important. Jesus was not prohibiting the legitimate use of discernment. As Christians, we need to constantly exercise judgment and discernment. For example, later in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus warned us to watch out for false prophets. In John, 1 John chapter 1, we are instructed to test the spirits to see if they are from God. In other words, we must use discernment regarding the teaching we receive. Even within Christian circles, there are many who do not handle God's word accurately. So when Jesus said, do not judge, he was not prohibiting thoughtful evaluation. As believers, we must constantly evaluate biblical teaching, ideas, cultural opinions, entertainment options, and so forth. A discerning spirit is imperative if we are to faithfully follow Christ. Well, a number of times in my ministry over the years, I've had the privilege of being asked to speak at a 50th or even a 60th wedding anniversary celebration. As I prepared to speak at one of these particular celebrations, I heard a story from a man who recalled a funny incident that occurred in the early days of his marriage. And here is what he said. He said, "Our wedding was on October 14, 1966. But our marriage really began 3 weeks later. My wife and I dressed up and went on our way to the nicest restaurant in town. We had saved up all our money for this big splurge. But there was one problem. My wife was wearing the most horrible perfume ever manufactured. It smelled like a mixture of mustard gas, black pepper, and vaporized maple syrup. I still get sick just thinking about it." He continued on by saying, "We had stopped the car at a railroad crossing while a train went past. It was cold outside. The windows were up and the heater was on. My nose and my lungs begged for mercy because of the smell of my wife's perfume. But I didn't want to upset her with a comment about the perfume she was wearing. I had decided that the one perfect marriage in history would be ours. No conflicts, no harsh words, no hurt feelings, no tears, nothing negative. My wife had a similar resolution. Dare I be honest? She had soaked in that terrible perfume every day for the first 3 weeks of our marriage. And I knew I couldn't hold out forever. So I said in my sweetest voice, 'Your perfume smells like bug spray.' There was silence. I glanced over at my wife and noticed that she was fighting back tears. We drove on. We got to the restaurant and pouted. Finally, later that evening, we reconciled. I think our marriage began with my comment about the perfume. At that point, we began to grow. We discovered there is a union stronger than emotions. And as for that perfume, I sprayed it on some cockroaches, and it worked." There is certainly a big difference between honest communication to resolve an issue and undue criticism, isn't there? Criticism, when it's not done in love, can really hurt us. And that's what Jesus is getting at in today's passage. He is not condemning the proper use of discernment and judgment. He is not condemning constructive advice given in love. When Jesus tells us not to judge, he is commanding us not to have a judgmental and critical attitude. Again, we are not to be fault finders who are negative and destructive to other people. If we're prone to finding fault with everything, two things will happen. The unity of a church will be destroyed, and second, a judgmental, critical attitude quenches the power and the work of God's Spirit. So let's address another issue as we continue on this morning. Why does Scripture prohibit a judgmental spirit? As I survey Scripture, I see four reasons why we should not judge others. Reason number one, when we judge others, we condemn ourselves. In verses 1 and 2, Jesus told us that we will be judged in the same way we judge others. What does this mean? Essentially, it means that we reap what we sow. When we sit in judgment over other people and judge their faults, we really reveal our own critical spirits and our own insecurities. Judgmentalism is often an attempt to build ourselves up by putting others down. In Romans chapter 2, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "You have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same things." We must be careful about casting stones at other people because none of us is without sin. We all need the redeeming grace of God no matter who we are. This brings us to a second reason why we should not be judgmental. We should be primarily, we should be primarily concerned with our own hearts. In verse 5, Jesus told us to remove the plank from our own eye instead of being so concerned with the speck in our brother's eye. He was using a metaphor to tell us that we should be dealing with our own sin before we think of correcting others. The first principle of judgment is to begin with ourselves. Scripture encourages us to lovingly correct our brothers and sisters when they are clearly involved with sin. But my first responsibility is to humbly address the sin in my own heart before I seek to correct others. Scripture commands us to engage in self-reflection regarding the condition of our own heart. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test?" Here's a third reason why we should avoid judgmentalism. We are not qualified to judge another person's heart. When Jesus told us not to judge, he was taking aim at self-righteousness and hypocrisy. The phrase, "do not judge," in verse 1 can also be translated, "do not condemn." And someone once said, I find this an interesting quote, someone once said that one way you can tell that you still have a lot of judgmentalism going on is when you become more enraged at someone else's sin than being embarrassed and convicted by your own sins. And sometimes we're quick to condemn or pass judgment on others because we think we know their motives. But only God can see into the human heart, and only God can judge our motives. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." When God looks at us, he alone can take everything into account. He alone knows the advantages that some people have been given. And he alone knows the disadvantages that some people have in terms of their background and their situation in life. We are not qualified to take God's place because you and I are not omniscient. God alone can judge the secrets and motives of the human heart. Here's a fourth reason not to be judgmental. We have no right to judge matters of individual conscience. If you've been in church circles for any length of time, you know this is a tricky issue, isn't it? Christians will always have different opinions about certain issues that are not clearly addressed in Scripture. Whether we are talking about moderate alcohol consumption, Sunday shopping, styles of worship, or listening to certain kinds of music, we all have different opinions. Scripture refers to these issues as disputable matters, and this happened in the first century in Paul's day. They are disputable matters because they are issues of individual conscience. In Romans 14, Paul gives us guidelines to help us get along when we have different opinions about disputable issues. In verse 4, Romans 14, Paul says, "And when it comes to matters of individual conscience, it is not our place to sit in judgment over one another." What is relevant and important to God in all disputable matters, I think, is the nature of your relationship with the people you disagree with. In other words, when you disagree on an issue, how do you disagree? Do you disagree with anger, contempt, and condemnation? Or when you disagree with others, or when I disagree with others, do we show love, concern, humility, and gentleness? Whether we are musical or not, most of us have heard the name Stradivarius. When he was alive, Antonio Stradivarius made approximately 1,000 violins, cellos, and guitars. His instruments are renowned for being among the greatest musical instruments ever made. Only 650 Stradivarius instruments still exist, and today they are played by world-class musicians, making them virtually priceless. A few years ago, a Stradivarius cello was being photographed for a photo shoot. The cello was put on a table, and then disaster struck. Someone knocked the cello off the table. It fell to the ground, and the neck broke off. Here's the incredible part of the story. This particular cello was one of only five Stradivarius cellos collected by King Philippe V of Spain in the 18th century. The cello that fell off the table was worth more than $20 million. You would expect people to be more careful when dealing with something so valuable. But you know, the truth is, every single day, you and I interact with something of greater worth than a Stradivarius cello. You and I interact with human beings who are made in the image of God. And because we are made in the image of God, every human being is priceless in the eyes of God. Unfortunately, we are quick to put labels on other people, forgetting that they are made in God's image. While God warns us about a judgmental attitude, we still need to exercise judgment in certain areas of life. Biblically speaking, I want to leave you this morning with three areas where we need to use judgment and discernment. First, it is important that we judge between biblical truth and error. There's never been a time in history like this one where so much information is available to us. And when it comes to biblical teaching, biblical doctrine, the information out there today is almost endless. And some of that teaching is biblically sound and conforms to historic Christian belief, and some of it is false and dangerous. For that reason, we need to exercise spiritual discernment. We should be like the Bereans in the book of Acts. Acts 17:11 tells us that after they heard the Apostle Paul teaching, the Bereans searched the Old Testament scriptures to verify the truth of what Paul was saying. And that applies to anyone who teaches scripture, myself or anyone. Compare what we say with scripture. It's important to judge between biblical truth and error. Second, we ought to judge between good and evil. Increasingly, more and more people in our culture argue that there really is no such thing as sin or evil. But even those who reject the existence of sin and evil would object if someone broke into their home, stole their possessions, or harmed their family. They would object on the basis that such behavior is morally wrong. Contrary to popular belief, good and evil exists. Scripture tells us that we are to discern between what is good and evil because there is a clear distinction between right and wrong. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every form of evil. God's word is the final authority on what is right and what is wrong, and we need to align our worldview with his word. Third, we ought to examine and judge our own hearts, or invite the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts. And this really brings us back to Jesus' words in Matthew 7, where he told us to remove the plank from our own eye. We need to continually ask God to search our own hearts to show us whether our hearts are right with him. God calls us to make judgments about good and evil. He calls us to discern the difference between sound biblical teaching and error. But he never calls us to condemn the hearts of others. God is the judge. May he give us the grace to know the difference. Let us pray. Father, we are living in a day and age in history like no other. The information available to us on the internet and from all sources is almost endless. We live in an age where there's just so much rage and anger on social media, and oftentimes we know we need to be careful about the opinions we share, for fear of being ostracized or canceled. Father, you call us not to be hypocritical and self-righteous, to judge the hearts of others, but you do call us to judge and discern between right and wrong, between sin and what is not sin, between good and evil. Help us to understand the difference. Help us, Father, when we disagree with others, to be gracious, to be respectful, to be humble, knowing that you call us to show respect to all people, for Scripture tells us to be ready to share our faith, but to do so with gentleness and with respect. Lord, these are difficult days, These are confusing days on so many levels, but we pray that the light and the love of Christ would shine through our humble hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.